This is the JMU Journalism Podcast, the week's news and how we reported it.
Top stories this week. The Sun is launching a Sunday edition starting on the 26th of February. The Sun Air chipboard factory has been named Merseyside's biggest safety centre of the past 12 months, and Liverpool's annual festival Summer Pops has been downsized. But first, events will be held around Liverpool this week encouraging gay couples to adopt and foster children. The New Family Social Group have launched the UK's first lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender adoption and fostering week, after a survey showed 72% of social workers saw a significant amount of energy and enthusiasm that the LGBT community brings to the process. Cabinet Member for Children's Services Jane Corbett told JMU Journalism that she hopes the stigma attached to gay parenting has decreased.
I'm hopeful it will be a success. What I'm keen to do is make sure that the information is out there so that people can make informed decisions about whether they would like to consider being an adopter or a foster carer. And particularly, I want people to understand that sexual orientation has nothing to do with this. What we're looking for is people who can provide a strong and loving family unit that child can come into. But they do need to be people who will place the child at the centre of their world. I do hope it shows that the stigma attached is starting to decrease.
The reporter on that case was Helen Turner. In other news, a man suspected to have jumped off a multi-storey car park at Bootle Strand Shopping Centre has died. Police were called to the scene earlier this week where they found a man in his 70s with serious multiple injuries. He was taken to hospital but was later pronounced dead. At this stage, there is no suspicious circumstances surrounding his death. However, inquiries are continuing. The Sun on Sunday will be published for the first time on the 26th of February. News International announced the plans earlier this week, 6 months after the News of the World shut in the wake of the phone hacking scandal. Rupert Murdoch will oversee the first edition, calling the paper a part of him. Our reporters Lindsay Rogan and Helen Turner has more.
Liverpool is set to extend its boycott of the Sun to 7 days a week. The news comes after News International's owner, Rupert Murdoch, will launch a Sunday edition of the paper entitled The Sun on Sunday, starting this weekend. The city has had a strained relationship with the paper since it reported Liverpool fans robbed from the dead and ignored instructions by South Yorkshire Police at the Hillsborough FA Cup final in 1989. Our reporter, Helen Turner, has been following the build-up to the new seven-day release.
Local residents here in Liverpool have been in dispute with The Sun ever since it printed that fateful headline which read The Truth, where the newspaper gained attention for all the wrong reasons by speculating that Liverpool fans had brought the tragedy on themselves. The readership of the paper in Merseyside dropped by three quarters from 55,000 to 12,000 in a matter of weeks, and 22 years later, the people of Liverpool still feel just as strongly, with a number of news agents refusing to stock the tabloid. Sheila Coleman of the Hillsborough Justice Campaign explained why she wasn't surprised that The Sun on Sunday has been established.
Well, we at the Hillsborough Justice Campaign aren't surprised at all, and I don't think many people in Liverpool are, because as soon as the Sun folded, we saw that as a tactic and thought how long before it's the Sun on Sunday or Sunday Sun. So that was, you know, sort of, I think most people thought he'll come back at something. And, you know, Murdoch's always going to come out fighting. He hasn't got where he's got by shrinking from any kind of controversy.
It is clear that there are strong feelings towards the Sun in terms of readership. What is the general reaction to the Sunday newspaper?
Well, as Sheila already mentioned, Lindsay, there was a strong suspicion that once the News of the World was closed as a result of the phone hacking scandal, News Corp would then release an alternative Sunday paper. Sheila highlighted to me why the now seven-day paper would make no difference to the supporters of the boycott against The Sun.
Obviously, we're disgusted, but from our point of view, it just means that we boycott The Sun 7 days a week instead of 6 days a week. It's kind of more poignant, the fact that it's being launched on the day that Liverpool are playing at Wembley, and they're playing Cardiff, two cities that actually have an axe to grind with The Sun. Cardiff because of the appalling coverage after the man died at Wembley.
The first issue will be released on the day of a Liverpool match. Was this an appropriate time to schedule the launch, considering the negative press attention surrounding Rupert Murdoch's company at the moment?
Well, what this shows, Lindsay, is that the two cities who have seemed to have been affected most by the Sun will stand up at this match and hopefully shun any negativity that the Sun on Sunday will bring. Miss Coleman explained to me how the Hillsborough Justice Campaign planned to overcome the recent controversy.
The Hillsborough Justice Campaign has organised leaflet combining our campaign with their campaign, and there will be leaflets given out all around Wembley by the Sun, and there will also be leaflets which show the combined efforts of Cardiff fans and Liverpool fans to boycott the Sun. So it's symbolic, really, of the fight of, let's say, more thinking individuals around that paper.
So it's clear that the people of Merseyside will not be affected by the unveiling of Murdoch's latest enterprise. It was no surprise to the supporters of the Hillsborough Justice Campaign that an equivalent to the News of the World would be established. But it looks like the boycott will continue for the rest of the 22nd year since the disaster and for many more years to come.
Thanks for your comments, Helen. Some controversial views there.
Liverpool's annual Summer Pops has been downsized to a handful of gigs at the Philharmonic Hall this year, after organisers said they would struggle to find acts to perform. In the past, the concerts have attracted names like Diana Ross, Sir Elton John and Bob Dylan, but this year they are having problems signing up high-profile artists. However, organisers CMP Entertainment have vowed to continue the festival. The chipboard factory Sonet has been named Merseyside's biggest safety center over the past 12 months. Currently, the Health and Safety Executive are probing three incidents at this site, including a devastating blaze last summer which caused £30 million worth of damage and left the factory non-operational for half a year. And HSE bosses are still deciding how to respond after the deaths of contract workers Thomas Elmer, aged 27, and James Bibby, aged 25, were dragged into machinery 14 months ago. Sonet is under investigation by Knowsley Council chiefs, who are considering whether to withdraw the firm's environmental permit. Our reporters Lindsay Rogan and Jonathan Maley has more.
Alarm bells are ringing for one of Kirby's biggest employers due to its poor health and safety infrastructure. The Sonet chipboard factory in Knowsley is under renewed pressure from local residents to change what has been described as harmful pollution of the area. The news comes after two fires in 6 months broke out at the factory, with the most recent one 4 weeks ago. Two factory workers were also killed on the site in December 2010, Thomas Elmer, aged 27, and James Bibby, 25. Now, Jonathan, you've been looking into this. Who have you spoken to, and what have they had to say?
Well, Lindsay, the HSE Health and Safety Group are responsible for ensuring workplaces are exactly that, safe and healthy, and it seems they've had their work cut out with the Kirby factory. I wanted to speak with the group earlier, and Jill Inglis of the Press Association there stated while an investigation is currently underway, it would be unfair for them to comment at this time. However, they did release the following statement. It reads, "Our inspectors have significantly increased their visits to the plant following the two deaths in December 2010 and the subsequent incidents at the site. HSE immediately issued a prohibition notice banning the work activity that had been taking place when the two workers were killed, until safety improvements had been put in place. We have also issued three other enforcements noticing requirements improvements to health and safety at the plant."
Are there other concerns locally then, outside the plant?
Yes, there are, and most of these are with the local residents who live near to the plant. Helen Moss, who is a campaigner for Say No to Sonet, expressed some of these concerns.
Well, most of the residents are the same. They're concerned about the dust pollution. They have big piles of wood dust in the yard at Sonai that get blown. Obviously, when the wind blows across, it blows the top layers of dust off. And when you come out, your cars are covered in it, your wheelie bins, your window ledges. So you're obviously breathing that in. Wood dust to humans is dangerous, but obviously our concerns are with the actual safety of the place too. The health and safety record of the place is atrocious.
Some strong views there. What does the factory have to say on this?
Well, I did get in touch with Sonet earlier today, and they were quick to state that they were unable to put someone forward due to people being busy at this present time.
Okay, Jonathan, thank you.
That was this week's podcast from JMU Journalism. I'm Leanna Brynolden.
The JMU Journalism Podcast is brought to you by the JMU Journalism Team, Innovation Park, Liverpool.